Go, go, go. Look at that little squirt. He's a cutie, man. They both are cute. Good night. Come on, let's get into the Word. James chapter 1. And I will be brief. I can speak fast. If you can listen fast, you'll be in. What that means is pay attention. James chapter 1. Title of the message today, Prayer, the Application of Power. Prayer, and then you'd put a colon, you know, dot. The Application of Power. Now, we've been looking in this series called Follow God's Pattern that you and I are a product of the patterns that we follow throughout our lives. It's not one act, it's a combination of things that you do. And you are, you know, the old saying, you are what you eat. Well, I can say this, you are in your life what you are today based upon patterns that you have repeated over and over and over in your life. And so we are a product of patterns. A pattern is simply a repetitive series of practices that produce certain results in our lives. A repetitive series of practices that produce certain results in our lives. And they can be good fruit or it can be bad fruit. Some people get into patterns and it reaps bad results. And the most sincere and probably most accurate definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result than what you've been getting. Okay? There are times you just plain have to make a change in the way that you're going about your life. And when you do that, you break out of the old pattern. See, the enemy's trying to get you off your faith. And so people are attacked in their faith. And that's what James brings out here in chapter 1. And we've been looking at that. I'm not going to go into that in a great bit of detail. But let's go ahead and read our foundation anyway, beginning there in verse 1. James 1, verse 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall. Not that it didn't say when God puts you into diverse temptations. It didn't say when God causes this or pushes you into it. No, it says when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. One version says, or puts patience to work. Patience is the redundancy again, the constancy, the over and over repetitive series of things that we do in our lives. When the trying of your faith happens, patience comes into play. It starts. But let patience have her perfect work. Work is the Greek word ergon, and it means literally a pattern. Let it have its perfect pattern play out of over and over doing things that will take you to the point at the latter part of verse 4 of becoming that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So what it's saying is when your faith is tried, redundancy, constancy, the word patience, that's what it means, kicks in. And regardless of what's going on, your faith is being attacked. He's trying to get you off your faith so you bear down a little heavier and you stay in the pattern. Knowing that if I do that, I'm going to come out eventually being perfect and entire, wanting nothing. People that break off the pattern, they always lose. Amen. Am I talking to the wall? Okay, Mr. Dorr, I'll talk to you. No, the fact is, when you break off the pattern, that's the enemy's having his way. Redundancy in doing a pattern that God wants in your life. You know what redundancy is? Repetitiveness, over and over. And sometimes it seems like, oh, gee, I'm going to keep doing this. Know that if you do that, if you'll hang in there, stay with it. Get through the tough times when you feel like not being disciplined, not being determined, not staying in the pattern, not doing the word, not reading your Bible, not praying, not coming to church. When you feel like not doing these things, recognize what he's trying to get you to do. He's trying to get you off of your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Well, Pastor Dan, I can get that. Well, I want you to get it. But the fact is that when you're in your own company, there's something about the testimonies and the interaction that happens within a church body. That's God thought of church. People didn't. God thought of it. And God's the one that ordained it to be the way it is. And now there's been some perversion of that, I'm sure, because you can go to churches and never learn the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? And you can go to churches and never find anything about this kind of thing, faith or any of this. And they attribute the problems to God. Verse 13 says, when you're tempted, tested, or tried, don't say God's the one behind it. Don't come along and say, God did this to me to teach me something. That's a lie. The enemy wants you to believe that. He's trying to alter your destiny. If he can get you off your faith, he can alter your destiny. And I don't want to end up where the devil wants me. I want to end up where the Lord and has his plan in my life. That's where he wants me to be. I want to end up there. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Austin, this is tugging on my head. Now, you can end up in the place of not having needs bombarding you continually. That place of being perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see that? It'd be really nice for every one of us to get to that place. Amen? Some think that's not available this side of heaven. That's not true. It is available. This is available. You can get to the place where you are so built up in the things of God that all your needs are being met. Have you ever met somebody that said, you know, I don't have any needs? And somebody else goes, oh, well, of course you do somewhere. Well, no, you know, the old question, what do you get for the person who has everything? Nothing. They're perfect and entire, wanting nothing in that area. They may have needs in other areas, but maybe that area is covered. You know, that should be our striving point, that we stay at things in the Lord until all of our needs are met in every area of our life. Now, if you don't think that's possible, then you don't believe the Word. Because it's time that people start saying, you know what, God has some good things in store for me and he wants me to arrive at that place. I'm going to stay in the pattern. If I follow his pattern, I'll come out the way he wants me to be, not altered over here in some altered state of listening to the enemy, getting me off my faith and me walking away from the pattern and ended up in a mess. So stay in the pattern. Some of you in here played football, and you know the receivers have a pattern. They're supposed to run a pattern. Well, if the pattern is in the old days they called it a flag, or now they'll do a wheel route where they go like this, and they'll go straight down in from the sidelines, break to the sidelines, and all in one motion turn, and the quarterback throws it. And if it's a wheel route and it's done right, I mean, the result many times can be a touchdown. But if that guy gets it in his head, well, I'm gonna go 15 yards and turn around and the ball will be there. And so he runs down and gives a fake and turns around like this, and the ball's going over his head because he was supposed to be down here. He broke off the pattern. If the defense is reading it right, they'll intercept it, right? Did you watch any of football yesterday? There was a lot of stuff going on. You know, yeah, well, anyway. Stay in the pattern. Stay in the pattern. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't break off the pattern. It'll cause trouble. So your faith is going to be contested. When it is, continue in the pattern of, number one, hearing the Word. Number two, speaking the Word. Number three, renewing the mind, your mind, with the Word. Number four, doing the Word. Amen. Need to be doers, not just hearers only. Now, your life is going to be unto you according to your faith. Jesus said that on many occasions in different ways, but by your faith be it done to you. Your life will be a result of the way that you walk out your faith. And you're not to be ashamed. You're supposed to continue in the Word. The Bible is God's Word. It's his plans that are within the Scriptures, and they are unveiled in that Word and through that Word for you and I. In our lives, and we're supposed to have faith in that Word. That's where we're supposed to be at, constantly going back to the Word. constantly go back to the Word, constantly reading, studying, praying, seeking the face of God, letting this Word and the faith that comes as a result of hearing the Word, let that faith constrain. That faith should be constraining your activity in life. Last week we talked about how if faith does not constrain your actions, seeing because you can't go on the net right now and get that off of the web, if you weren't here, you didn't hear it. If your faith does not constrain your actions, then faith really hasn't arrived yet. Okay? If you say you have faith, and the minute you hit the door, everything becomes permissible to you again, that faith is really not there. You're really not living it. That hurts. If, you know, somebody's playing a game like that, like, well, I'll do my time, I'll do my obligation, and the minute you hit the door, all hell breaks loose again in your life, and you start doing all sorts of stuff you shouldn't be doing, hanging out with folks you shouldn't have. All that stuff, all that says is you're walking in a feigned or phony faith. Now, that's not a thank you for blessing me with that, Pastor, but it really is a, okay, you have to own up to it in your life. I'm not going to point it out in anybody. It's not my job. It's not my business. It's really none of my business in that respect. You before the Lord are going to answer for you. Yeah, we talked about judgment. You're going to answer for the works that you did. And if you thought that going to church was a good thing and it automatically makes you a Christian, there are a lot of people sitting in churches today that don't even know Christ. Now, we give people opportunity to know Christ in this church, and we do it consistently. But the fact of the matter is, just because you sit in church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Be very careful to think that somebody, well, they go to church. Doesn't matter where they at. Have they received Jesus? I'll go sit in my garage all afternoon and not turn into a Ferrari. Maybe if you spent 2 weeks in that garage. Ann says, no, she wouldn't say that. Sit out there and think you're going to turn into a car. You don't turn into a car because you sit in a garage. You don't turn into a Christian because you sit in church. And I'll tell you another thing. You don't automatically have faith because you sit and endure a sermon once a week. See, if you view it as enduring, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Nothing's going to happen. Once faith begins in your life and starts to grow, it's going to start constraining your actions. You won't fly into a tirade and call people everything but a nice guy, you know, and get into stuff that you start saying to people how you used to talk. No, faith will say, no, you don't go there anymore. That's not you anymore. We used to do this. That's why you got to be careful who you hang out with. I'm telling you, hanging out with the wrong people will get you in trouble. Amen. Well, I have one amen. I heard a mm-hmm. Let's look at the fifth component today. It's prayer. Mark chapter 11. You all know where that is? Mark chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, second book in the New Testament. Originally communicated in Hebrew. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were all originally communicated in Hebrew, translated into Greek. First, the one gospel that was originally communicated in Greek and written down in Greek was John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptics, were all originally written down in Hebrew. First 15 chapters of the book of Acts were also written originally in Hebrew. And then translated over into Greek. And sometimes you run into translation errors and translation problems when people are trying to translate idioms. An idiom is a way of saying something, but it's not literal. In other words, it's raining cats and dogs, it's a toad strangler, those types of things. It's not raining cats and dogs, it's just really heavy, raining heavy, you know. Chris, I think I saw that on the web yesterday about 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights is not literal. When Christ was in the grave, died at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, rose up from the dead early Sunday morning. Is that 72 hours? You can do the math. It's not. 3 days and three nights is a Hebrew idiom, where in Hebrew thought, any portion of a day is equal to a day. So from the afternoon on Friday till midnight was a day and a night. That's how it's viewed in Hebrew. All day Saturday, a day and a night. Saturday night at midnight, Sunday morning at 12:01, from there until the time he rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, a day and a night. That's how it's viewed in Hebrew. It's an idiom. It doesn't mean 72 hours. So some have had a problem with that and say, well, you know, I say the Bible's wrong. No, it's not. No. Bible is not wrong. Amen. Mark chapter 11. This is a big one right here. Verse 22. Look at it. It says, have faith in God. Jesus, after they passed by the fig tree and dried up from the roots and all that. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, you can't just start saying things and think that if I just say them enough and I really believe it, it'll come to pass. Do you hear me? It has to line up with the word of God. In other words, you can't sit around and scheme a way to cheat the IRS and God will give you, you know, the faith to pull that off. Someone else will try it. No, you know, you don't sit around and plan the perfect robbery. Lord, give me wisdom on how to rob that bank, man. Thank you, Lord. I believe I received the perfect plans just laid out to me, Lord, where I can go in there and get all that money. Boy, I'll finance the gospel with stolen money. No. It has to line up with the word of God. Amen. Had people come to me and say, get an agreement with me. I really would like to get married to this woman. And, who is she? Where is she at? Is she a believer? Oh, yeah. Well, what's the problem? Does she know you're alive? Well, yeah. But the issue is she's married right now. But I think the Lord really has brought us together. Hey, you bozo. You're like, serious? You think God is going to honor that kind of thing? Come on, get real. People start doing stupid things and think, oh, by faith, it's kind of like, well, a big old fat piece of chocolate pie. Here we're on the chocolate pie again. Big old piece. And I'll just, in the name of Jesus, Lord, remove the calories out of that pie for me. I cast them out in the name of Jesus. You depart. And bingo. Oh, here we go. Yeah, you can't cast calories out. Terry Mize was telling me one time, Terry was on Kenneth's program last week, Kenneth Copeland. And he had told me one time, he said, and Johnny was there. He said, you know, he was sitting at lunch with some Rhema students. Nothing against Rhema. Rhema's a good place. Rhema doesn't teach that kind of stupidity. But this guy, they sit down over lunch, and this guy, in the name of Jesus, I cast the calories out of this food. You did that in front of Terry Mize? You really don't know what you're doing. Terry looks over at that guy. He said, why don't you cast the dirt out of your clothes too? What do you mean? You can't cast calories out of food. If you could, then you should be able to cast the dirt out of your clothing and you never have another cleaning bill at the dry cleaner, or you wouldn't even need a washing machine because you just cast the dirt out of your clothes. Yeah, amen. You know, let's believe. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. It has to be in line with the word of God. Amen. Well, you know, it sounds foolish, but sometimes people say and think foolish things. Anyway. So, faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you see that word where it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, is the mountain a literal mountain? It could be. Is it a spiritual thing? Is it some, it's whatever, here's the mountain. The mountain is whatever is blocking you in your life from walking in the things of God. The answer to the prayer. Whatever it is, it could be a physical thing, it could be a spiritual thing. That's what the mountain represents, an obstacle. And you have faith to overcome it. Amen? To get it out of the way. Now, here it is. The power of faith needs to be applied. Now, you know, it's one thing to have faith, but now you need to make sure you know how to apply it. The power of faith needs to be applied. Otherwise, all you have is intellectual discussion along with mental assent. The power of faith needs to be applied. Otherwise, all you end up with is intellectual discussion. Oh, we'll talk about this. It's one thing to talk about. It's another thing to do it. It's one thing to be having good discussions about things. Oh, yeah, you know, the Bible says they laid hands on the sick and they recovered. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Here's what this means in Greek or this means in Hebrew, and that's wonderful. I do it myself. But then there's somebody that needs hands laid on them. Well, I don't know that God would do that today. I think that passed away at the apostles. Wait a minute. It's one thing to talk about it, discuss it, study it. It's another thing then to act on it. And so you need to act on it. Okay? The power of faith needs to be applied. Otherwise, all you have is intellectual discussion along with mental assent. Look at verse 24. Therefore, stop right there. Therefore. What is therefore? Therefore. What you could literally say is, you know, he started out in verse 22, have faith in God. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and all that. Okay? So faith has come. Now, therefore, or since faith has come into your life, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Therefore, it's since faith has arrived and you can speak to this mountain, therefore, start saying this, okay? Start saying this. Start to proclaim. Start to declare. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Write this down. I want you to get this. Prayer is the application of the power that faith produces. Prayer is the application of the power that faith produces. If you don't know how to apply it, that's like having a head full of knowledge and not knowing how to apply it in your life. There are a lot of people that come out of college, they graduate, and they have a diploma. See, I'm it now. I am this. I am an engineer. I have a degree in mechanical engineering. I have a degree in computer science of some, you know, level. I have a degree in this. I have a degree in that. Okay, wonderful. So you have a lot of knowledge, but now do you really know how to apply that knowledge into the workplace, into life? It's one thing to have a head full of knowledge. It's another thing to have the knowledge and the ability to apply that knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge, okay? Knowledge is just gaining the facts. Wisdom is knowing how to actually use it. Amen. Now, Scripture says in James 4, verse 3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. And a lot of times people get into this. They say, well, I'm going to proclaim this. I'm going to say this. You don't start proclaiming. You don't do verse 24 until faith has actually come into your life. And one of the indicators that it's there is it is constraining your actions. Too many times people, they say, well, you know, that's what it says, and I'm just going to start saying it. I'm going to say it over and over and over again, and say it over again, and believe I receive in Jesus' name. And they don't have faith enough to lay hands on somebody with a headache. And yet they're going to believe God for this monumental thing over here. No. You got to walk before you can run. You got to literally crawl before you can walk. And until faith is there, you can proclaim all you want. Faith has to be present. Okay? If you're a doer of the word, it's going to have corresponding actions with being a doer or having faith. And you need to have the corresponding actions with your faith. The corresponding actions are born out of faith in you. So, if I have faith, then there should be some works born out of the faith that I say I have. And those works ought to be things that are obvious to everybody that sees me. Not that I'm doing it to be seen, but that faith actually is alive in my life and I'm living by it. Amen. Let's go. We're going to wrap this thing up. We'll get you through here. Listen, I would suggest that you find a time and find a place that you can be alone with God to go and make the connection that you need to make with the Lord. You say, well, what does that mean, Pastor Dan? Some alone time with God. Some alone time with God. You'll get more done if you spend some time alone with Him. And then you'll begin to find out whether that faith that you say or claim that you have actually is alive in you. Do you hear me? Tell you, people don't have enough alone time with God. You get alone with the Lord, it's going to make a difference in you. He's going to make and give you some directives. Amen. So in verse 23, you believe that you have the power to cast the mountain into the sea. Verse 24, you connect with God, and now your belief is that you receive. Why? Because the Bible says His word will not return unto Him void, but it'll prosper in the place where it is sent. Amen. Faith has to arrive in your life first before you can proclaim it and have it produce on your behalf. That's good now. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says you have to have faith in order to please God. Well, okay, Pastor Dan, but how do I believe I receive? You know, you hear that. Well, receive it now. You have to, and this is where I want to center right now. And like I said, I'll get you out of here in a moment. How do you believe you receive? You have to, by faith, see yourself with that mountain of impossibility gone out of your life. Remember we were talking about the imagination and how important the imagination is? We looked at Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel. Whatever they're imagining, they'll accomplish. They're all in unity and agreement. And whatever they've imagined, they'll be able to do. Now, I said that the imagination is something that you need to let God paint on that canvas of your imagination, so that He can give you a picture of what He wants in your life. How many of y'all imagine doing some things for the Lord? Do you have an imagination that the Lord has shown you some things? Come on. If you don't, you need to. Guess who will paint on the canvas of your imagination if you're not letting God? The devil will begin, and he can alter your destiny by getting your mind over on things that he wants for your life. We're back to square one again. Don't let the enemy paint in your imagination. Oh, it'll just be so great if I could do this. If I could just meet the right man or the right woman, and then my life would be perfect. No. Your life needs to become perfect and entire, wanting nothing in this life through following the pattern. And along the way, God will bring that desire of your heart. There's two places desire come, either from carnal desire or from God giving you the desire. And so we need to line up with what He has for us. Now, I'll say this. Your imagination is very, very powerful. But you have to let God paint the picture of His will for your life on the canvas of your imagination. Now, get this. I wrote this down. It gives you that picture. Your imagination gives you, or God will give you that picture to focus on. He'll give you the picture to focus on. It's not mind over matter. God wants to use your imagination. You have to start seeing and believing what He has for you. All the while trusting that God will bring what He's showing me to pass. Do you see yourself whole? Do you see yourself well? It's not mind over matter. It's letting God paint the picture and give you the will, His will, and place it into your imagination. You hear me? That's exactly what it is. So what do you see in that imagination? If you're letting the devil paint, there's all sorts of stuff he'll paint in there. He'll have you doing this, that, and the other. He'll have you imagining or fantasizing, that's another word, about things. And this would just be so perfect. No. Let the Lord minister to your imagination. God gave you an imagination for a purpose. Your mind is very, very important. You don't believe God with your mind, but the mind is something that needs to be renewed. But then also the imagination is part of that soulish realm, that if He can paint a picture and you begin focusing on what He has for you. Amen. How does desire increase in a person? By focusing on something. Ken, all I do is eat, drink, sleep, spend all my time thinking about ways to get a classic Mustang. I'm searching, and now I'm trying to figure out. And all I'm doing, I'm consumed with it. That desire is going to increase toward that. What you think on is where the desire will increase. People have problems, you know, if all they're ever doing is thinking about sex. That's how people get into pornography. Every time they, you know, it just consumes their thoughts. With the lie that everything's going to be good if you just have sex. There's a lot more to life than sex, amen? It's just a lie. It's just a lie. And the enemy paints that picture and people get consumed with stuff. If it's not that, it's something else. What you focus your attention on will create momentum in that area. Where is your momentum today? What are you thinking about? What are you focusing on? What desire are you going to yield to? Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. So I want to know what the Lord has for me. And I want to be able to take it to Him and say, okay, you showed me this. Now I thoroughly expect you to bring it to pass in me since you showed it to me. I mean, I could tell you the story about how Ann and I eventually ended up getting married. And the Lord had shown me, and I remembered what He had shown me. And in time, it played out. But all the while, I had to stay. Go ahead, stand to your feet. I had to stay consistent to the Word. Doing the Word in my life. Rejecting other things that were trying to pull me off and alter my destiny. Now, did you always do that? Not always. I mean, come on. Sometimes people fail. Sometimes people go down the wrong path for a moment and realize and turn around. I'm not saying I went down like evil paths. What I'm saying is you can become distracted in your life. Stay in the pattern. Don't let the enemy alter your destiny. So once the picture is painted and you've spent time alone with God, now that picture's painted in your imagination, now start to focus on that. Focus on godly things. Focus your desire on doing what the Lord wants you to do in your life, what you know God is calling you to do in your life. Focus on that. And desire will build in, momentum will build in that direction. And my goodness, you keep staying in the Word, your faith will arise. And one of these days, you'll know faith is there. And that you are on the cusp of this thing coming to pass. And you begin proclaiming it in your life. Lord, whatever it is that He's called you into or called you to do. Believe you receive. You've got to start seeing yourself healed. If you're believing for healing. You've got to see yourself prosperous if that's what. Now, I'm not talking greedy and all that stuff. You know, people automatically go there right away. But I remember sitting down and just seeing myself sitting, I think I told you this before, on a couch with a fireplace. That's what I wanted. I wanted to have my own office at the house. You know where I wrote this sermon last night? In my office at the house. You got to see. Let the Lord will give you. He will place desires in you. The book of Psalms, was it? Chapter 37, I believe. 34. Anyway, it's there. Somebody go look. It's either 34:7 or 37:4. 30 what? 37:4. Okay, I'll take it. He will give you the desires of your heart. Once He places that desire there, focus on what He told you. Let momentum build in that direction. Now work hard to get to that place. Stay in the pattern and resist the temptation to pull off of the pattern. God has a plan for every one of us. Father, thank You today for that plan. Thank You for showing us what we are to do in this life. Thank You, Lord God, for building our faith as we serve You and continue in the Word. Thank You for the faith that is necessary being constructed in us. And sir, I thank you that as we are growing in faith and that faith is growing in us, Lord God, that you encourage us. And in encouraging us, we'll step in that place where as we proclaim, things begin coming to pass rapidly. We thank you for that. We praise you and bless you that this day, prayer being that application of the power that faith has produced, Lord God. We want to take it from just mentally agreeing to actually having faith that's constraining us and motivating us in our lives and speaking out of that abundance of faith that's on the inside. Oh, my. You line up with God's word, things start happening. Father, we thank you for that. And we praise you for that today. In Jesus' name. Come on, if y'all agree, say it. Amen. Amen.